Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
I honestly expected to have have changed mine. I like signed on. I saw George was Rush Limbaugh, and I'm like, ooh, who did they change me to?
I wasn't Rich Limbaugh. I was Newt fucking Gingrich. Newt Gringit. Gringitch. Gringotts.
Who are you
Newt
now? Gringotts. Back to Jorge?
Yeah, dude.
I like this Bill Clinton thing.
You like it?
I'm gonna change his name to Brett the Cop.
Brett the Cop, the racist Nazi cop. No,
don't fuck like that, dude.
Don't. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There Podcast, episode 366. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. Yo soy Matty Ding Dong.
That's right. We don't give a fuck about anybody's fucking religion. We don't care about what their ethnicity is. We don't care. We let everybody do what they want. It's like the great Chinggis Khan once said, practice your own religions and pay tax to me. It's like a monkey trying to fuck a football now, really, this whole thing. It's just a big mess. This is free!
Where'd you get this monkey fucking football line?
That's Steven Seagal from a 2016 direct-to-video Steven Seagal film. Entitled...
Well, fellas, how you been?
I forgot. I had the video saved on my phone, and I was like, you know what? That's pretty good.
It's going.
I've been doing pretty good.
All right.
Trying a new format tonight. We've got 365 episodes in the bag, so we can now start season two. So,
is that where season two starts?
We now have one episode for every day of the year, so now we can start season two. We're gonna try things a little bit differently.
The true archivist can go back and start at one and have a full year of entertainment.
Yeah, but in the interest of being more welcoming to newer fans, we're gonna move some of the old pre-show content to Patreon and content.
If you're not subscribed to Patreon at this point, you missed a whole bunch of fun.
A whole bunch of stuff. We just did an episode on Hocus Pocus 2.
And arguably an episode on Adrenochrome exclusively.
Yeah. There is a very deep dive, Adrenochrome.
Deeper than you have to dive into a child's skull to find said Adrenochrome.
Yeah.
And also, somebody else who's riding high on Adrenochrome is our brand new Patreon homie.
Halloween House House.
No, there's another one. We got one today.
Wow!
One today. Wow, and they opted to sign up for the entire year. So they got a cool little discount.
Oh, that's right.
And they get the benefits of the Who Goes There podcast all year round.
What a cuck.
What a fucking cuck.
She is a cuck, Miss Ashley Jones.
Thanks, never mind. You fucking cuck. But yeah, I've been doing pretty good. Went on a couple dates. That's all weird. We don't need to get into that. That's Patreon content if you're interested in it. But
we also talked about a bunch of other stuff we watched.
Yeah.
Something we used to do on the show proper, but we're going to
save the really big highlights for the show proper. We'll talk about the lower lights ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I'm now officially busy every single night between now and November 7th, which is a month and a day from now. Going to Telluride for a week, going to Belgium for a week, have like four concerts coming
up. Sounds like a fucking nightmare, honestly.
It's exhausting. I'm already pooped and it's like day two. What about you, buddy?
Which four concerts you got?
I'm going to Propagandhi.
Were you like concerts? Name four of them.
Propagandhi, the day I get back from Colorado. I'm going to Death Cab for Cutie on the 21st at the Greek in LA. I've got my first ever black carpet movie premiere. The first movie I ever shot is finally coming out, and it's got its premiere in LA on the 22nd.
So what is called a black carpet movie premiere?
You know, when you make horror movies and they come out around Halloween, dude, you put on your fangs, you get your skulls, and your color purple. And
you get your skulls.
I'm going to The Hire on the 5th of November, and I'm going to Carpenter Brut on the 29th of October in Belgium.
Not bad. Are we possibly going to The Sounds of Animals Fighting?
I am probably going to go. Like, it's some weird festival, but I don't give a shit. I haven't seen them since like 2007. What else were you talking about recently?
What some other show? I don't remember now.
Save Ferris is November 18th. I'm going to that.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Is it?
Where is it at?
Chain Reaction.
Chain Reaction's a little far.
Scott's show at Chain Reaction, bro.
It's a little far. All right. See. What about you, little buddy?
Last week. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. I know I already said it on the Patreon content.
Yeah.
We celebrated our 3-year
fucking barf
anniversary.
You know what? I don't even mind the anniversary. It's his use of the term my lover on social media.
Well, I told this motherfucker not everyone gets married like a dumb American white bitch.
She is my lover. Some of us are disgusting about it and put it on social media.
Well, that's not... Lover doesn't just imply imagine us fucking ass.
I mean, like, no.
And what's so bad about that?
If it did, that wouldn't be gross.
Oh, what's the gross part?
The part of it that's non-fucking.
He means every other part of the relationship.
In any case, we watched a film called The Room. A film that not too long ago we were watching every day.
That's the one he wanted to say.
That's crazy. That's actually, we
hadn't watched it since peak COVID.
I know. But that there was a time in your relationship that you were watching The Room every day.
It helped us get through that year.
That's crazy to me.
I know.
Not that it's a problem.
No, I understand. It is crazy.
To me, it's insane.
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, look what it produced. Me. This is good, right?
No. But you've been you as long as I've known you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So fuck you, dude. Boom, I got you.
See,
dude, boom.
I mean, it's a shame we never see Sophia because I would ask her to blink twice if she needed help.
It was actually a really weird watch because the movie, it's bizarre, it's fucking hilarious, but it's really gross. That movie's actually like his ass shots and his nutsack, you can see through his butt. And
like, you can see his nutsack through his butt.
You can see like the little outline underneath his butt cheeks of his balls. And dude, it's like, damn.
I love when you see balls like in the back of somebody, like in a movie where somebody's walking. It's like, that's the back of his nuts.
It's a ball sack.
It's kind of okay. I kind of love it.
Okay.
We already talked about all the other shit we watched, but we went and saw Viagra Boys at the Observatory.
Cool.
And Jacob Denton was there. He's one of our... With his brother. I finally met Paul. And
Paul's dope as shit, by the way.
That was really cool. I feel fucking shitty, though, because they were asking if it was worth it to get, like, the special VIP seats. VIP seats? Is that right?
That's good. Yeah.
Sounds weird. Okay. And I said, yeah, I mean, I like it as an option. And this was not the show for those. And I didn't even go up there till after Viagra Boys.
So Rhett convinced them to spend a bunch of money and then
yeah, so sorry. Not use it. I apologize to them, but now I can be extra neurotic and do it on the show.
Uh-huh.
But it was good to meet them, and the show was fucking great. There was some issue.
Yeah, you already met Jacob before.
Well, it was good to meet that person that I had not.
Mm.
And you can still refer to them as them.
Mm.
Ass.
Mm.
How magnanimous of you.
No, not at all.
But I didn't know.
This level of vitriol.
I did not know.
So much.
I had not imagined Paul being... He's about 10 years older than Jacob. And he's not as tall as I thought he would be.
Mm.
Right? Mm. You've never met him?
I have no idea. I thought you were going to say he was fat.
No! That's me, dude.
No, Paul's into Muay Thai, dude.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm into shit. Muay Thai too.
He did have that kind of calm.
He'll fuck you up.
Confidence.
He'll fuck you up.
But yes,
he'll kill you.
Really?
Fuck you up.
But the show was great, and this coming week we're gonna go see Meshuga in Hollywood.
Nice. Oof.
And it's also a full moon, and it's the Aries full moon in October.
Oof.
And since we're up there, we're gonna go see this movie with Cate Blanchett called Tar, where she plays. Conductor.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be fucking a great movie, and it's not playing anywhere but New York and LA starting this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Terrifier 2 tomorrow.
Nice. Dope.
So I'm looking forward to the weekend.
What about you?
I've got nothing to report. Moving on.
Come on, man.
So before we get into the review, like I had a really unique experience this week, and I was waiting to talk to you guys about it until the show, and I'm really fucking excited.
What?
While I was at the theater.
The theater.
I saw the trailer for Babylon.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too.
Yep.
They showed clips of the scene that I'm in. And that was like a really fucking...
like the Crusades part out.
Yeah.
I wonder if there will be a point in the movie that you're actually like visible.
I'm going to have to buy it and just scour all of those scenes. But it was like a really fucking surreal experience. It's like the first time I ever felt like this thing is real. Like, I know you're probably not even going to be able to see me in that movie, but to be like in a theater to watch a movie and see a trailer and be like, holy fuck, like, I might
It would be crazy be if your face was like front and center for like a split second.
Well, how long till you have to fight
my fucking mind?
How long till you have to fight the other Matt Smith?
I've already laid down the challenge.
Oh, silly face Matt Smith?
I'm older than him, and he's the one that sucks. He should have to change his name.
You're older than...
By 2 months.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like a significant
His birthday
amount of
is
time.
Like any day now. It's October something, 82.
That movie looks pretty good.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Are you going to watch La La Land now?
No.
That you've done one of that guy's movies?
No.
Damn, that's career suicide, dude.
Is it?
I'm kind of bummed out that, what's that movie that we were talking about? The one that's got like the stupid ass cast that is...
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. I'm so bummed out that the reviews are coming out and it's like...
I'm amazed. David O. Russell hasn't... He did Silver Linings Playbook way back in the day.
Which is a good flick.
He did Three Kings. He did I Heart Huckabees, which a lot of people hate, but I kind of fucking liked it because it was bonkers.
And speaking of unbelievable reviews, the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called...
I got it, dude. You don't have to do it.
2022 Smile.
Watched 2022 Smile. I got you, bitch.
Smile.
Written and directed by Parker Finn, starring Sozy Bacon. Jesse T. Usher, who you might remember from The Boys, if you watch that show.
The Boys.
Kyle Gallner, who's been in a couple few things. Nick Arapoglou, Vanessa Cozart, Chevy Gutierrez, which is weird because like what's his name? Cal Penn is so far down this fucking list. But anywho, this is going to be weird. Matt Smith, what'd you think of Smile, brother?
So I watched Smile twice.
always.
The first time, I didn't get it. And then I called somebody on the phone. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I get it.
So the first time, there was a couple next to me that insisted upon talking. So I insisted upon sleeping through the majority of the movie. And then I was like, man, I feel like I saw everything, but I need to watch it for sure. So I watched it today. And by God, even though I slept through half the movie, I didn't miss a goddamn thing. Do you like The Ring? Do you like The Grudge? Do you like The Curse or It Follows or any of these other curse type movies? Because this is the same thing, just not done as well. There's a couple like cool shots. The last 10 minutes are pretty fucking rad. But like also like if Rhett defends this movie at all, I'm just going to say Deborah Logan.
It's a horrible fucking movie.
Shut up. So this movie.
You're defending it. Uh-oh.
This movie is like 2 hours.
Too long.
When it could have been like an hour. And
bro,
then cut
the
half of it off.
The Burning
was at least charming with how
it had
bad and dated
and a rap scene, bro.
Yeah.
Don't make it.
To that trash.
And get off.
You guys are all trying to be professional because you changed the format.
And get off my Kool-Aid.
Stop it.
Don't get off. No, and get off my Kool-Aid because like
he's still drinking.
I'm still going. I'm still pouring. This movie, like, is it good? No. Is it good? Is it bad?
Is it enjoyable?
No.
Also no.
Do you need to watch it? No. Are any of the characters likable? No.
Okay.
Did it need to be made?
Okay,
no.
Yeah,
I know. We do different things.
Is Rhett gonna defend this movie after George tells me what he thinks? Yes.
Probably. Before I talk about the movie, I'm going to talk about the dumb shit you just said.
Oh, hold on.
George, what did you think?
We got plenty of time to talk about the dumb shit.
No, I won't because I'll forget because you're going to say more dumb shit.
What did you think about 2022 Smile while we save Rhett 20, for last?
2022 Smile. I enjoyed about 12 minutes of this movie.
The last 12?
No, there's some. There are some genuine good moments in this film. I will say the jump scares in this film are earned. They're yep. not hokey, and they're not they're not like, oh fuck, I saw that shit coming.
They are abundant.
They're abundant, but also well placed. I the jump scares, super fun. The internal struggle that this woman goes through, I enjoyed those scenes.
That sounds like more than 12
minutes.
She's
talking about, you know, she's talking about all these struggles she's going, but boy howdy, can I not fucking stand her fiance?
Oh, he's mm-hmm. good.
Can I not fucking stand the therapist? Can I not fucking believe Cal Penn as a head of a hospital, even though the guy is brilliant and he actually
does, could be.
he's actually a brilliant guy, but as an actor in a serious role, he's trash. So all we're left with now is this girl's internal struggle with the demon and her highly unbelievable ex-boyfriend detective.
Don't forget her struggle with all the side plots that never really go anywhere.
Don't forget his hoodie.
Don't forget his hoodie when he's like, oh, this is my day off. Ugh.
Yeah, that's good.
Her acting by and large, pretty good. I believe a lot of her struggle that she's putting forth. The sound design, pretty good. I like what they're doing. I like some of the, like the like sort some of like,
interesting noises.
Some of the like the repeating sort of resonance going on, like with when people are talking, and then it just like drones on that note of people talking. Pretty cool. But mostly, it's not nearly as good as it should have been, and not nearly as bad as it could have been.
As like we wanted it to
I
be.
I wanted to be like, this either has to be fucking, oh shit, smile, when it's like, oh fuck, it's
ring. Exactly it's what the we
ring.
Didn't want
it's
it to
the
be.
Ring again. Fuck. Okay, yep. Cool. It's like kind of okay. Great. What about you, little homie?
How much did you love it?
I don't think us. That he loved it. Well, sorry. Sorry.
Before he...
Your Kool-Aid's over, bitch.
I want to tell the listeners about Rhett.
I don't care what you want to tell. I wanted to say shit.
Let him talk. Let him
talk.
You
go ahead. You go ahead.
Thanks a lot.
You go ahead. I'm going to let you.
I'm going to let you finish. You know what? Because you said that, what do you want to tell the listeners?
So, Rhett... When he watches a movie, especially if he hates it, he will tell us about it. He will live tweet it.
That's true.
He will like
me too.
To be fair, Rhett has been almost completely radio silent about Smile for well over a week, and I have been struggling to figure out if it's a bit and he hates it or if he really loves it.
He's been radio silent, but then he'll like drop these like little like, I hated it. Wait a second. What?
Yeah. And then we ask him about it and he'll change the subject real quick.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just to be clear, I heard both of you say, you kind of came off vehemently negative and then both said quite a few good things about the movie.
Did I say quite a few good
things? You said, is it good? No. Is it bad? No. And then you mentioned some things you enjoyed. You said the last 10 minutes is good. He mentioned the sound design. He said the lead performance is good. Look, just like you guys are saying, I had leaned into this movie being a piece of shit arbitrarily for months based upon the premise, the trailer, and it looked like the worst kind of Blumhouse shit I could imagine. And it's not Blumhouse, but it looked like in that
vein. It looked in that genre.
Okay, dude. So when I did... do an immediate text with you guys because the first 5 minutes I'm like, I fucking hate it. Yep. I fucking can't stand this dialogue. I can't stand what's coming out of their mouth. And then like the thing happened, and then when it showed the title card, and it was weird because the sound design kicked in. And the editing started happening.
That's crazy.
There's
dude.
Some editing
it's
techniques.
It's weird smash cuts.
There's some, that's what I'm, yeah. There's the visual, this guy's first directing gig is this movie. I don't know his name offhand because he's brand new. His scene transitions were constantly fucking engaging to me. And it wasn't like special effects. It was just how he decided to like cut from one scene to the next. And so I'm pointing out the good stuff first. Basically, I started getting really surprised that it was as competent as it was and as creative as it was. Because premise-wise, just like you guys said, we've seen. I'm like, it follows. It's The Ring and this and this. But the score, the sound design, and that goes pretty far for me with a movie like this because it's atmospheric.
But because what else does it have, right? But, like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And editing, sound, atmosphere, and like you said, jump scares. So on a central nervous system level, this shit works. Everything that came out of people's mouths, though, just fucking... Dude, you mentioned... You pissed me off, man, because you already mentioned her fiancé. He was fucking obnoxious. Dude. And even if he was... Here's the thing, though. As the movie progressed, it like kept it started showing its hand, I think, where it was like, yeah, I know this was dumb. That's because she's in a surface-level dumb shit relationship with this guy. And that's because most people, they think smiling is like the sign of you not being in pain. So as long as you look good on the exterior, everything's okay. So it's developing this thing. The last third of the movie, I'd say more than the last 12 minutes, I thought was really fucking effective, actually. I think the whole fucking thing would fail no matter how good, not the whole thing, but as good as like the jump scares and shit were, without the lead performance, even she pissed me off at first. But then
Jesus,
she's really committed to the role. Do you know who that is, by the way?
No.
It's Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick's daughter. Mm. So that's why she's got that unfortunate name.
What's her name?
Saucy Bacon.
Sausage Bacon.
Sausage and Bacon. Well, she did a fucking great job. She did a great job. And look, unsurprisingly, I know we've had a lot of movies about trauma and about grief, but trauma and suicide, the thing I like about this compared to the other shit you said, like The Ring is like, watch this video and this shit happens. This localizes it in an actually real phenomena, which is trauma does get spread from one person to the next. And it is a fucking, it's an intergenerational
thing. And not only that, I think I enjoy the aspect that it's like involuntary. There's no choice. There's no choice. You're going to see somebody kill themselves.
And I know I don't want to give a spoiler, but I'll say the end, it looks like it's going to have a Hollywood type ending and then it doesn't. And Sophia's like, it seemed like they might have done that. And I'm like, I'm glad they didn't. And I said, honestly, the reason why is this, because the trauma does live longer than people. And what I mean by that is someone will die and it passes from person to person to person and it lives longer than people. People just come and go while this stuff keeps passing around to people. Does that make sense?
So is this movie just all a metaphor? Because like, I'm wondering what the point is. Because like, for how many times the main actress says, what are you? We never find out. With The Ring, we find out what the tape is and why the tape is. With It Follows, we find out
it's essentially a demon that feeds on suffering.
Yeah, that's all.
That's it. And it just is like, okay, I'm just going to keep moving along.
Well, and I think too, it almost goes, I don't want to say like I was getting Annihilation vibes at the end, but somewhat. I mean, and I'm not saying it's as visionary or as good as the end of that movie or anything, but it's peeling off its face, right? It has to use the faces of other people to represent itself because it has no face. It's faceless. And then, like, so it keeps taking the masks off.
But it's not mouthless, am I right?
Yeah. Oh. But then even that, it's like, these are all representations. You can't get to the actual thing. Like, any image is just, it's an image of the thing. It's not the actual thing because it's invisible.
What about that thing at the end, though?
Well, that's just another...
The one that was, like, too big for the door frame and, like...
But still, I mean...
That's still
representation.
And that's a representation on yet another one that we've had a few of this year of a malevolent, like, mother figure, you know, because this goes to her mother committing suicide. And that trauma was passed to her at a very young age, and it's followed her. She stuffed it down in her subconscious because she's over it. She got over it. One of her ways of dealing with it was getting into the field she's in. And trying to help other people so she could be in control of it. And now it's resurfaced. It's resurfaced and it's taken over her fucking life. And the malevolent mother figure reemerges because, you get what I'm saying?
This is another film that I think in concept is a lot more clever than an execution. Because, you know, I
just think the dialogue sucked. Otherwise, I would have loved it.
Well, the dialogue sucked and the smiles too. The smiles just reminded me of Truth or Dare. And I'm like... there's a lot of points in the movie that I think were unintentionally funny, because of those stupid smiles.
It leans into the comedy. I think the stuff that's funny, I think is funny as shit.
No, I mean, man. Like the smiles.
To,
like,
to me, dude, that moment where that fucking kid pulls the cat out of the box.
Oh, that shit was great.
I am legitimately fucking like laughing because I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, but then.
And you're supposed to laugh, and that makes the point.
But then they instantly zoom in on the cat's name tag. Like, this movie treats us as if we're stupid a lot of the time.
Well, because it's being a very mainstream, accessible movie.
To be fair, the general audience is stupid.
Fair.
You're like 60% of this earth is dumb as fuck. Like,
60?
Well, yeah, the average person.
96%.
Oh, okay, shit. Okay.
And I'm in it.
And I'm one of them.
I am the 4%.
So, like, yeah, dude, there is a certain aspect of, you know, filmmaking that has to pander to people that are of...
Well, I think, too, the director's intention was to make something very accessible, but also that was still about this other stuff, you know? When you mentioned the cat scene, honestly, that's where, because that's why, one of the reasons, do I love the movie? No, but am I ambivalent about it? Yeah, because there's stuff in it that really annoys the fuck out of me. When it got to that cat scene, though, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, see, and
you got me.
How much of this is real in sense of the movie, and how much of it is like unreliable narrator, like
the
metaphor,
movie's in a heightened reality anyway,
metaphor
though.
For trauma. Cause like, so like,
it's not even a metaphor for trauma though. It uses trauma.
Well, so, but I mean, so they talk about how like her mother was crazy and her mother went crazy and her boyfriend or fiance makes the statement about like, I looked into whether or not crazy can be passed down genetically and all this other stuff. So they're implying that although she's like a psychologist, she is potentially fucking crazy and it runs in
the
family.
Okay, wait up.
And
okay.
So there's all these other moments that kind of hint at like,
Matt,
she may not be actually experiencing these things as she thinks. Like when she's putting on the eye makeup, implying that she's not sleeping. So like...
But before going to that, like when you mention it's important, dude, like this is one of the things where the movie started. I started realizing it was kind of winking the first half with its dumbass dialogue. It has a lot of characters mentioning you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. What that's doing is almost, to me, in the field I work in, it's almost satirical. But to most people, they're going to take that dialogue seriously. It's almost satire, though, because it's saying that the most people, that's how they look at these situations. You're crazy. Right? That's not a fucking technical term. It doesn't carry any information.
Well, it's reductive and dismissive, too.
And I'm not just saying that to sound woke. I'm saying it's actually, it doesn't tell me anything. Like, you're not crazy for experiencing trauma. You're alive for experiencing trauma. Like, this fucking happens at some point. Right?
Then you smoke weed to numb the trauma.
That's you, dude.
Damn.
But, you know.
Damn, dude. Damn. Fucking got me, dude.
But, yeah, when you mention that, like, you know, is she crazy or is this actually happening? I think it kind of leaves it a little ambiguous, you know? But either way, if the incident hadn't happened when she was a child, it's the same answer. Like, she wouldn't be experiencing what she's experiencing.
I think what it's saying is that, like, she's far more susceptible to it because of the trauma that she endured as a child.
I mean, I argue you could take that whole bit of her as a child out and not lose anything.
No, I disagree completely. Like, no, because it's the only... Here's the other thing, too. It's crucial. What's crucial is this. She didn't process what happened to her. She didn't process it. She shoved it down to, quote-unquote, like, get over it. That's not how things work. The shit comes out. It will come out. And if you get into an event that triggers it, it will fucking come out, dude. And that's what happened here, you know? Does that make sense? It's crucial that they showed that it's generational and that it was like a formative event when she was a kid.
You know what? In fact,
she got in the field.
I mean, but
more to the point, take out all the husband stuff and give me more of the...
You could take out all... That's the thing is you could take out all the husband stuff. You could take out all of like... the romantic side interest, because like I thought they were gonna like fuck or something, and then like
I like that though.
It was just a means to an end of like her being able to police Google shit. That's all that was, and like the stuff with her and her mom.
It was also
it's like,
though because
with her and her mom, I didn't get how any of that was related because like they tease it from the very beginning, where it's like, oh, okay, here's a person that's like dead or OD'd or vomited or something, and you don't know until later that like the mom has OD'd on a, I'm assuming, heroin, and the girl just like leaves her
booze and pills.
Well, is that what it was?
Yeah,
this isn't dialogue.
The daughter just leaves her to die, and it's like, okay, well, like that's not suicide because she didn't do it intentionally, did she? Or was it an accidental overdose, or did she try to kill herself?
Does it matter though?
Well, because like, yes, because if it's an accidental, it's
you're
like
getting stuck in classifications.
No,
dude.
Because I'm thinking if it's accidental, then that doesn't really lead in with the whole like. Like, I mean, I guess it is a traumatic suicide, but it's not like an intentional suicide where the other ones are.
She had a mother that was very sick and that died and wanted to die on some level in front of her. And if she didn't want to die, she still was doing stuff that led to her death.
Well, I don't think she wanted to die in front of her.
No, I'm not talking. I'm saying she wanted to die. She died in front of her, right? She died. Like, it doesn't, your classification thing, was it suicide? It doesn't matter, dude.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't suicide, then it doesn't fit the narrative of, like, the movie.
Well,
like,
it does. What it does is it shows this enormous wound that she's got around death.
That's what I mean. I think you guys are thinking the movie's dumb because the dialogue.
Nobody said the movie's dumb. Well, I said it's not good.
Don't you guys, me motherfucker.
I'm you guys and you because you're clearly missing this stuff, right? Like, check this shit out.
I'm agreeing with you though.
Okay.
And I'm trying to understand because you're making a dumb movie
she
smart.
She thinks of it as suicide to avoid the guilt that she carries for being responsible for not calling the authorities.
Yeah, she feels like she murdered her mom.
Which is even worse. It's easier for her to house it as suicide. So again, the classification doesn't matter here. Like, that's not the point, dude. It's about what she's carrying with her, right? And once it's dredged up to the surface, we get the reveal, and she gets to relive the trauma that she let her mom die. But also, it's like her mom was a monster. Like, she fucking was scared to death. Do we understand? Am I compassionate for her? Yeah. But is that suicide in the natural sense? You could debate otherwise. What's important here is that the character was housing it as suicide because they didn't want to look at their part of it. Does that make sense?
So you're saying the character is the Babadook.
I'm saying the character has a shitload of fucking of shades to it. Like, the boyfriend. This is important, too. She's just going there to Google shit. Not exactly, because they have talks where anytime he wanted to get real with her, she would like walk out of the relationship. That's why she went and found this surface level motherfucker who abandons her as soon as shit starts getting weird.
The moment it gets difficult, he's like, you know what, dude? I'm out.
Right. All that shit, that's all good writing.
I mean, hold on. Like, you're saying the moment thing gets difficult. She literally gave a fucking dead cat to her nephew at his birthday.
But he's also ignoring all of the buildup.
Right, but that's not nothing. Like, that's a pretty big something to give a child a dead cat.
We're not talking about the dead cat. I'm talking about when she expresses anything that's not the norm to him, anything uncomfortable, anything that's like, I'm having a problem.
He shuts down.
Yeah, he doesn't want to have anything to do with that. He wants to come home and he wants her to be pleasant, and when she's not pleasant, something must be wrong and you're crazy.
That's sort of exemplified in the scene where they're having dinner and he's like, no, she's perfectly happy as a doctor. Like, it's great, it's wonderful. Like, not dealing with the fact that she just witnessed somebody kill themselves in front of her. Like, he's so fine. Like, because if
it's like, here, I'll give you a hug.
If it's me, man, we're not going to dinner.
Yeah,
like not that I want to be like, oh, I'm such a better husband or I'm a such better partner, but there are so much more, like, dude, even when it comes to like even sexual experiences, like, there are stuff that comes with aftercare, right?
Yeah,
right. So like, witnessing a fucking suicide, whether it's fucking supernatural or not, requires an amount of fucking aftercare, which this dude is clearly not fucking built for. You know, we're still going to dinner, right? Like, because, you know, I got to get my fucking steak on and I got to get my fucking, my drink on.
And this is, it adds shades to her character too, because she signed up for this relationship with this dude because she advertised to him, this is how she was, this is who she was, And, you know, I'm a workaholic and I present well and I take care of my stuff and this and this. And he's like, cool, I'll sign up for this.
Well, even her boss, right? He's like, you know, we can't treat people without being mentally together. And I'm like, so then you can't hire anyone?
No, what you do, it comes up in our field constantly. Like, you're not, it's very true though. You have to like.
Well, I guess what I'm saying
therapists is that, like, have therapists.
What I'm saying is that there's no way to be like, okay, I'm like good to go, so now I can start treating people. Like, it's a constant evolution of to fucking better yourself.
Find the balance.
Yeah.
No, it is, man, because, I mean, you know, I don't want to make it up, but, I mean, shit, man, I've had clients commit suicide and people be suicidal, and you've experienced, you've been right next door to suicidal stuff, Matt.
Yep.
So, you know, and I know, that's the thing. I really respect that the movie is about that, but it does lean into comedy about it. It's like a fun movie about suicide.
I didn't have fun at this movie at all.
Well, I think you didn't have fun with the jump scares and the soundtrack. Okay, and the scene transitions.
I've neglected to mention the jump scares. The jump scares are some of the better done jump scares I've seen in a long time. And like, there's points where you can feel them coming, but even still, the timing is off to where like they don't come when you expect them to.
me neither, am I right?
Yeah. Like that scene where she's listening to, you know, the little audio clip and she keeps like, enhance, enhance. You're conditioned to know that something's coming and you expect it like when that little breathing noise is supposed to come in, but then that breathing noise doesn't come and you're left hanging there, and that's...
And then you put your defenses down, and then it happens.
Well, yeah. That's that tension that I love. Like, you don't know when the relief is coming anymore, so you start to get more tense.
That's the fun I'm referring to.
Yeah, so that, I have
fun with that stuff.
That one was good. Then there was another one.
The one where she's laying in bed, and she's getting called from the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought, again, I think that...
You expect the figure to run at the bed and do that quick little thing, and then suddenly it's like, oh, wait, she's outside.
It's a weird film, man, because, like, premise, I'm in, right? Like, even though it's been overwrought, like, we've got this whole, like, you know, you've got 7 days to live after you watch the video thing, like... Fine. I'm whatever. It's let's get past that part. It unfortunately is this.
Unfortunately,
apparently, it is a concept that's been done before, which is totally fine. I don't give a shit about that part. But the intelligent parts of this film are wrapped in this like garbage dialogue and garbage acting by 90% of the cast, which is kind of unfortunate because...
Reminds me of Malignant because of that, though.
It doesn't lean in, though.
It doesn't lean as far. I get it. So that's what I mean. It's not on that same level of like self-awareness, I don't think. If it is, it's like, wow. But I'm not... I can't tell that you're self-aware as that. But like, that's what I mean. It's highly stylized, right? Meaning like all the interiors, things are very deliberate. The color schemes... Like, this is a heightened reality situation, like Malignant in that sense, too. It's not to the same degree. It's not as ridiculous. What would lean in with that third act of Malignant with, what happens in the jail and shit?
Malignant my balls.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I mean is, like, by the end of the movie, like the that annoyed me, I felt was just kind of goofy, and I think it lightened the tone of the other stuff. And I was kind of like, I haven't seen it again. But I can't, but by the... The way it ends up where it ends up, I can't help but think that shit was deliberate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess ultimately where I feel...
That doesn't mean I like it more, but
I think where it falls flat to me is that because the when it does get to the sort of outlandish and more goofy aspects of it, it's too far dramatic to be balanced out by the goofiness that's there. Because I do, I like that fucking, that last little bit where, you know, the fucking mom is like trouncing through the house. And
dude, that last 10 minutes was dope.
Yeah.
Like super dope.
And then she leaves the house and thinks she's out. And then she turns around and realizes she's still next to the house.
Well, and then like her salvation comes and she runs away from like, the one person that's there to protect her and runs back into
the house. All of that. She knows really she's good dooming shit. Him.
She what?
She knows she's dooming well, him either, by being around.
Well, does she know she's dooming him? Or at that point, does she think, like, I can't trust my own eyes?
Exactly.
Because well, it takes the face maybe, of other maybe a people.
Bit of both.
Or both. Right, and I think that's showing that's kind of what we're up against here, not with this monster, but with the situation. It is both. You know? Am I dooming him? And well, it's kind of like, let's say I'm sick, and I know I'm sick, and I'm headed towards death, because there are people in that situation. Right, with whatever illness they have. And they want to connect with someone, but they don't want to drag them into their shit. Also, they can't trust their eyes. That's not a fictitious situation.
It's not that too far gone.
No, that's like, that's the real shit. And you're like, you know, I know it's like, oh, well, I don't like the real shit. It's like, well, it is horrific, you know, so it kind of works. Yeah. It's not like just the Babadook where the mom has grief and she needs to, you know, have a space in the house to go feed the grief, which I'm cool with, but I think this is like more of a
dare I say it, more nuanced than the Babadook.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, gotcha, bitch.
I wouldn't say that.
I would.
So, yeah. Jorge Gonzalez, 2022, smile.
More better nuanced than the Babadook. Agreed.
He said it.
Yeah, I think so. At least for me.
But
I had a point I was going to make, and I lost it once George said
it was better than the Babadook.
Yeah.
More fun, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What was the point I was going to make? I don't even remember.
You said you hated the psychologist.
Oh, I can't fucking stand her, dude. Because I've seen her in other movies, and I'm like, oh, it's just the same fucking character. Ugh.
Gotcha. Nah,
couldn't.
She's typecast. Yeah. Oh, Kumar, I totally agree with you, too. I totally agree
dude,
with you.
His line delivery.
Well, and
Jesus.
Also, look, man, I'm not trying to be a dick because people.
What are you talking about?
Well, also, did he look in a mirror before he did the scenes? Because he's like doing a thing where he's like bulging his eyes out and like his lips are all perky. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Did you just eat like fucking three hamburgers right now?
That's a side effect of the steroids.
Steroids?
Yeah, that he used to get all fucking jacked for that superhero.
What are you talking about? That's Kumail Nanjiani, you fucking weirdo. This
is Harold and Kumar.
What? Am I
not talking about the same guy?
What the fuck?
No, you're a racist.
You really are. You really.
They look nothing
alike.
They're
the same guy. They're totally the same guy.
You're talking about Slumdog Millionaire, dude.
I can't fucking believe you just said that. That's the steroids, man.
No, he doesn't look like steroids. He looks like
I was wondering where all his muscle went. Wasn't he super buff?
That's Kumar from Harold and Kumar in this movie.
Yeah, same dude.
Definitely not the same dude.
Whoops.
Wait a minute. There's that fever dream sequence though, where he's talking to her at work. And then, like, he starts ripping his face off.
That was good.
That was good.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
It does that. Which
is stabbing that fucking guy.
Like, that and the cat. Okay, I'm not saying this is one of my favorites of the year or anything, but some of those sequences are my favorites, some of my favorites of the year. And that means something.
2022 smile better than Mandy, Rhett Creel.
It was funny. No, absolutely fucking not. And you
funny that you say that. That's true.
Yeah.
Mandy's
I remember thinking that
Mandy
as I was watching
really
this.
Really good still, by the way. It is really good.
But you think Smile's better.
What movie won over Mandy?
Don't Breathe.
So it goes Don't Breathe, Smile, Mandy. Then Mandy, right after.
Don't forget Hocus Pocus.
Dude, when you fuck like this, dude, I don't know what to do. I have to keep defending Mandy's honor every time.
It's just a fever dream,
dude. There are first-time listeners that's their impression.
It's
of
a fever
shit.
Dream, dude.
And you know it breaks my heart.
You'll snap out of it any moment.
The people on Patreon heard you talk all about how you love Hocus Pocus more than Mandy. So.
I can't even not. I can't even like try to defend. That's fucking hilarious.
That's true.
I do probably love talking shit about Hocus Pocus.
It's like you with the Insidious movies. You love them.
Yeah, love them.
Insidious is dope.
They're my favorite, right up there with the Conjuring movies.
I know you like the Conjuring.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Back to this. Wait a minute. Yeah, this movie was, I was primed to have this in bottom five. This is nowhere near bottom five.
It's too middling for me.
I wouldn't even say, I don't think it's middling either. Like, I think Black Phone is middling. This is better than Black Phone.
I think it's middling. I think it has moments where it shows what it could have been. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. There's another trope that it explores quite a bit, and that's the trope where, like, they talk about something horrific that happened earlier in the film, or like earlier in the timeline of events, and then they flash an image of it. Like when she goes to meet the widow of the guy that bashed his face in with a hammer, and she's talking about it, and then they flash that glimpse of his face with the tongue all hanging out.
I thought that shit was funny more than anything.
Well, yeah, but it's like that's a trope that they had like in The Ring when they're talking about Amber Tamblyn's character dying in the closet like halfway through the movie.
Those are horror movie tropes.
Well, right, but it's like when somebody like me is talking about this movie feeling unoriginal because like. It's ultimately
you gotta come original.
So you do. You like Ronnie Funk Size, the one Mr. Vegas.
With the dance hall. And yeah.
Black Eyed Peas, dude.
Punk guitar and
Deli on the mic is the one that has to say. Your name is 311 and you know it ain't easy.
Original.
So this movie is a curse movie. It's like shitty things start happening. You find out that you're cursed. You find out how you got cursed. You find out how to break the curse. You try to break the curse. You don't break the curse.
Are you ready to hate me?
In order, like, for it to have all of these other tropes that are used in these movies and make them glaringly obvious, to me, just makes the movie feel a little bit
I can't
weaker.
Wait for you to hate me. You know how you're saying these are things?
I already hate you.
It's, hate me today. That's a good song.
He fucking hates me.
Hate me tomorrow. Blue October. That's some good shit.
Also, there's the I Hate Everything About You.
Hey.
That song. Who's that? Chevelle.
Time 3 Days Grace.
I think you're talking about Ugly Kid Joe.
I hate everything about you.
You think that's Chevelle?
Why? Who is that?
Of course that's not Chevelle. I don't know, but it's not Chevelle, man.
Yeah.
Don't fuck like that.
They're the same guy.
It starts with a weird bass line. It goes.
Every day I suck this cock.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Make your point.
You're saying that it's.
He made the point. He sucks cock every day.
You're saying that it's like this and it's a trope from horror and you've seen it before. Okay, get ready to hate me. It's a trope in horror and there are horror movies. Because you have seen it before, and it keeps happening in life. That's why there are horror movies. Do you get it?
That's
why it's a trope,
There's
Matt.
Nothing quite is, so is condescending as somebody you? Saying, you get it, question mark.
Is this where I'm supposed to hate you? Is this yes. where I'm supposed to feel passionately about what you just said?
No, I don't want you to feel passionately. I want you to understand what I just said and then hate me.
No,
listen to what I'm saying. I
stopped listening as soon as you
addressed
me.
Because, horror movies are a fucking bit, Matt. They're all a bit. Like, why is it a genre of horror?
Because
people are trying to deal with trauma and death.
Well, it's actually for classification purposes, you know? Like,
no, I'm saying, why is there an audience for it? Why do you want to shock your central nervous system? Why do you want to see gore? Why do you want
to
deal with
death?
Because
I want to watch people die without having to go to prison.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. So you're trying to satisfy those urges. Those are all... tropes.
Yeah, but none of the people
alive.
Like I wanted to watch more people in this movie die and they didn't.
You're changing the subject.
No, it's still relevant. It's still relevant. You're talking about you watch these things to see people die and it's like I do and I didn't.
You did.
No, this movie was all about telling and not exactly showing.
That's also now you're really off the fucking thing.
That's not even true.
It is true.
I'm a PhD candidate. I'm not crazy. I know what I'm doing.
I don't get what he's saying.
All right, gentlemen, let's wrap
you
it up.
Because you're not a PhD candidate.
Not yet.
Look. I'm willing to give this film
4 stars.
Out one, of 10. one thumb up. I think that if
out of how many?
Out of 2. Because I've only got
thumbs.
2.
So you're giving it 2.5 stars out of 5.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he's giving it 5
out
of 10.
Yeah, but isn't that shocking?
Yeah, it is. Let's
acknowledge the shock of this.
It's absurd. I will say this. I think while it's still in theaters, that's when to go see it.
Really?
Endorsement. And you saw it in Dolby Atmos.
I did, dude. It was way over fucking done for that, dude. I walked into the
theater.
What
is this Atmos thing you're talking about?
It's stupid as shit, man. Like, well, it's great. But for this movie, it was stupid as shit. Like, Dolby Atmos basically, like, will allow the sound to be wherever they want in space. So, like, it could be, like, above right to your head. It could be behind left to your head. Yeah, the soundscape in this film was
dope.
Was
One of the best.
You know
of
what's
the year.
Funny is that you talk about that, and the first time I ever really appreciated like spatial sound was watching The Ring, because I watched it like in my bedroom with surround sound. After it was the first movie I ever watched.
Your
after
favorite
I'd,
movie is The Ring.
After I'd bought a surround sound system, and I had one of the speakers right behind my head, and hearing all of the weird little like
this is so Atmos is like one step past that.
One step beyond.
Yeah. So I would tell you, if there's a theater that's showing it near you, go check it out. You know, burn one of your AMC pass.
If they had to choose between checking out Barbarian or this.
Mm-mm. Oh, Barbarian.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't fuck like that.
So, Matt, what's your final word, dude?
I mean,
you love it.
It's middling. It's very middling. It's like I don't feel justified telling people to not watch it, and I don't feel justified telling people to watch it.
Yeah.
If you have a list, there's worse things you can watch. There's also better things you can watch. I would recommend any of the movies. It Follows, The Curse, The Grudge, The Ring, the original versions of those over this, because it's...
I think it's stylistically a totally different movie, though.
Stylistically, it's different. The jump scares are more well-earned in this, but, like, theme and pacing-wise, it feels very similar to all of those other Curse movies.
Definitely agreed on that
part. It's like how fucking Friday the 13th, you know, or Terrifier is going to follow a slasher formula.
Yeah, like if I'm comparing this to It Follows, like for my personal, there's no comparison.
It's fucking better. But the dynamic of the premise of the movie.
When she looks outside the window and there's a fucking old bitch out there.
Just staring
and
there.
It's like, this is It Follows. Yep.
And it's like, it comes with you and you have to pass it on to somebody else. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But then, okay, so let me ask you this, because so they talk about how, like, tracing the record back, there's been 19 suicides, and he's like, this has been happening, you know, for a while. But, like, also, if there's been 20 cases, it's been less than 6 months that this thing is happening. Because if you're talking about a week, you're looking at 23 weeks at least in 6 months. So, like...
I like where you're going, but it'll lead somewhere surprising.
26 weeks. So, like...
There's a lot of suicides, man.
Yeah, I know. But for this thing... Yeah,
where's he going with this?
No, for this thing, and, like, the cop was like, oh, it's been going on for a while. You trace it back. So it's only really been going on for 6 months. But, like, the way to break this thing is if you don't brutally murder somebody within a week, then you ultimately kill yourself and you pass the curse on anyways.
Supposedly.
But why? Like, what motivation do you have? It's like, yes, you'll still be alive, but now you're going to spend the entirety of your life in jail. So arguably, what's worse, being alive in prison forever or being dead?
That's the deal. There is no way out.
That's horror.
I mean, to me, it seems easy.
And I like that scene. I thought, again,
well, I'll just let myself die then, because, like, I don't want to go get fucked in my ass for the next 40 years.
Whoa. Well, and that's what I mean by fun. Like, it's a mixture of...
Getting fucked in your ass for 40 years is fun?
No, ass. I'm about to fuck your ass. No, when she goes to the prison to talk to the dude, which is, by the way, talk about a stupid ass scene.
He's like, make the cop leave. It's like, you're in prison.
See, that's what I mean about it.
They're you everywhere.
This is not in a realistic world with these events like this, right? It's just so stupid. I can't take it seriously. Dude,
the opening scene where, like, the girl actually cuts her throat. Before she cuts her throat, like, she's having this manic breakdown in the fucking psychiatrist's office, and she goes to call for help, taking her eyes off the patient for like a good minute. She's just facing the wall even after she hangs up the phone. And I'm like, "What? Why? Yeah, she's clearly unstable. She could be a danger to yourself and herself. And you're just going to turn your back on her.
Back to the prison. Fuck.
Yeah. Okay. The prison fuck.
Well, she talks to the black dude and he starts freaking out, right? Why did you come here and all that? He plays it, he overplays it so much where it feels, to me, it feels, it's very intentional.
Yep.
And that's what I mean. I start having fun because of how hysterical he's getting. But when people are fucking traumatized, they get fucking hysterical. Like, this motherfucker, this hardened criminal who's in prison is hysterical about this shit. And it's actually, you know, that's
well, everyone in this movie is a little bit hysterical. When she goes to talk to the widow of the guy that busted his head open. She's like, she's okay talking about all of it when she thinks she's a reporter. But then when she's like, no, your husband wasn't crazy, I'm going through the same shit that he was going through. It's like, okay, well, now she's telling you to fuck off. Like, why is it so crazy that you might be going through the same thing?
That's right.
A lot of holes there.
Hmm. You think there's holes there?
I think there's a few.
Well, I think people want to, it's easier to call it crazy so they don't have to look at it.
Well, yeah, it's dismissive too. And it's like, I mean, you could make the argument that that's how we deal with our mental health in America, is we just dismiss people as being crazy and we're like, don't worry about it, you're crazy.
Well, yeah, that's definitely a part of it. And also human beings by nature, they're like, okay, they got, at any given moment, dude, I did this training for work, Matt, check this shit out. It says 11 million bits of information are coming at you at any given moment, right? 11 million on average.
Speaking of coming, you know how much data is in your
guess jizz? How much is your conscious mind is capable of taking in at a time?
Five.
Like 45. That means all about a shitload more. Millions of other ones are getting picked up subconsciously. So what this means is naturally, your brain is sifting out most shit to get to whittle the world down to a manageable size where I can worry about my fucking credit score and my address, and I can call that an identity, which is trash, right?
I don't think my brain is sifting.
Oh, it's sifting all the time. You're no fucking exception. In fact, you're even worse. You got maybe fucking 10 things going on.
Yeah, I think it's more, it's less of a sifting pan and it's more of just like a hole.
All right.
I beat you in arm wrestling. All right.
What are we talking about next week?
What are we talking about next week?
We are talking about, dude, it is that month. Hellraiser comes out this week.
That's what it was. I knew it was either that or,
Jorge's favorite.
It's so fucking.
Can we throw a Patreon on with this one too or
no?
Oh
no, we're gonna watch Hellraiser. Oh my god, this is Jorge signing out.
Oh my god, this is Matt.
Maddie, ding dong, I love you, and
bye, Sophia.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.